She's like your older sister, but louder. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, as we roll our way to a finally Friday, a chilly finally Friday at that, we've got a red hot topic to finish off this hour. Yesterday, the Dairy Business Association announced that they were filing a lawsuit against the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, claiming that they are overreaching their legal authority on key regulations. Regulations specifically that talk to dairy farms about how they must manage rainfall runoff on their dairies, specifically around calf hutches and feed storage areas. John Holyvoat with the Dairy Business Association is joining us to explain why they're doing what they're doing and what this may mean to Wisconsin dairy farms of all sizes. John, thanks for checking in. First of all, talk to me a little bit about what precipitated this litigation against the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. What was going on?
I think the underlying problem is how DNR has been reacting to Act 21, and that's just a law that was passed in 2011. Governor Walker signed it into law that basically regulates how we are supposed to have agencies doing administrative rules. The expectation is that there's a established process for them to follow if they're going to establish a new rule, and it's to provide transparency as well as lawmaker oversight. Ever since that law was passed, DNR has repeatedly tried to circumvent it. One of their key tools in doing that are these things called guidance documents, which often read a lot like an administrative rule. They just don't call it that. So they don't have to. According to them, they don't have to follow Act 21 because that's not an administrative rule. But if it has all the practical impact of an administrative rule without the name, that's not an acceptable way to do it. You're getting away from really what democracy is about, which is we're supposed to have that lawmaker oversight. And we're supposed to have the ability for people to have meaningful input on the rulemaking process.
So cite me some specifics here, John. People may not necessarily be able to conjure up a vision of what Ag 21 portions we're referencing here. There are some very practical practices that our Wisconsin dairies have been using that suddenly DNR is calling foul on. Give us some practical examples for my dairy farm listeners.
So the lawsuit actually references two examples, both of which I think a lot of people make use of on their farms, so they really will hit home with folks. One is how we regulate water coming off of calf hutch areas, and the other one is regulating how we deal with water that might be coming off of our feed pads or out of our bunkers when we have a heavy rain. For a long time, we've dealt with that by having a vegetated treatment area, so this grassy area where we basically land treat that rainwater. The nutrients would soak into the soil. We'd mow that area down periodically to harvest off the nutrients. And not only was that acceptable to DNR, but that was their preferred method. They wrote it into farms' permits that they had to do that. They pushed this as a good strategy to use. And then abruptly last April, they changed course. They prepared a draft guidance document. So we're back to that again. Without going through the rulemaking process, they prepared a draft guidance document and a separate letter, and that's how they decided to change policy. And this policy will impact farms across the state, farms of various different sizes. It'll cost some farms hundreds of thousands, others millions of dollars to implement the changes they're trying to propose, all without going through the formal rulemaking process.
And that's kind of really the rub. People should be aware, John, that Dairy Business Association has been working closely with DNR to try to resolve some of this. But you said that there's kind of been a little bit of an attitude change within, correct?
Yeah, we've really struggled on this. So that draft guidance and those letters went out in the spring of 2016. So this has been ongoing for a while. People have already been dealing with it. And we have been in repeatedly dealing with staff, trying to set up meetings between the private consulting community and DNR engineers, trying to get everyone on the same page, really trying to be as collaborative as possible. At the same time, I think there's an element of tunnel vision here, where once they set a course, they want to follow through with that course, even if it doesn't make good financial sense for our farmers, and even if it doesn't make good environmental sense for our state. One of the most frustrating things about this particular change is not only is it going to be costly for farmers, but I believe it's going to be environmentally detrimental, right? We're going to make farmers collect a bunch more water. They're going to have to apply that water, which is mostly just clean rainwater, at the same time that they're applying manure in fall and spring, and they're more likely to have saturated soils, more likely to have runoff events, more likely to have leaching events. But they've got in their mind they need to do this, and they have almost this dogged determination to push forward, regardless of the various reasons why they should really press the pause button.
John, is this the first time that DBA has resorted to a lawsuit when it comes to this kind of a situation?
We've never sued directly before. So, yeah, I think that really it does show how serious this issue is. Mm-hmm. And how, from our perspective at least, we've done almost anything we can think of to avoid getting to this point. But here we are.
Was there a tipping point? Was it an individual incident that just blaringly screamed, that's too much?
I think it's probably been building for a long time, but certainly for the issue with VTAs, it's a big one. And because it's so costly and it's coming at a time when milk price has been down for a while and we have sort of this tightening farm credit market, when you're going to come up with this new de facto rule, without calling it a rule, because you can't do that, that could cost people a significant amount of money as this could at a time when they may not be able to really finance the compliance costs, mm-hmm. We were left with little option. Mm-hmm.
The question has come up if this guideline has been being enforced. We hear time and time again that the DNR is so short-staffed that we've got a backlog when it comes to the permits that must be on the books. A lot of finger-pointing there. Have these guidelines been being enforced, or has it been mostly boardroom discussion?
Well, they are being enforced against folks as their permits come up for renewal. So people who are in that position where they might be trying to get a permit modification because they're making some sort of change, maybe they're adding on to their bunker, maybe they're adding on to their herd, those people are impacted. Also, people, these permits are on a five-year cycle, so if your time just happens to be up, you'll be impacted. Mm-hmm. The people who are in kind of the toughest spot, to be honest with you, are folks who maybe got a compliance schedule from DNR. Again, they were pushing these VTAs. They maybe got a compliance schedule that says you need to finish building your VTA, and now they're kind of left in limbo, right? They've been instructed they must do this to comply with their permit. At the same time, the DNR is saying, don't do that. We're going to come up with a new way that you have to do this. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of stuck in this weird sort of legal no man's land, wondering what they should do and what the best, how they should proceed and how they should spend money to reinvest in their farm.
So that's a good point, John. What are you advising those dairies that are caught in the quagmire? Are you advising them keep moving forward as your plans were? Hold up. Let's wait and see how this sorts out. What are you advising them?
Well, every farm has to comply with the terms of their permit. So if they have a requirement right now that and DNR is pushing them to do something, they're going to be stuck. Our hope is for those people who would be facing this in a year or two, at least we can hopefully try and provide some clarity and some relief.
Sure. Now, talk to me about the kind of where we go from here, John. So the lawsuit has been filed against the DNR. I'm sure that they've got 30 days or whatever to respond. Can you play out for us what may be happening in the next month or two, and ideally what DBA hopes will be happening?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, they're going to reply to the complaint that was filed. So they've got some time to do that. There will be a time period for discovery eventually, where we shared information with one another. There will also be a time period potentially for discussions about a negotiated settlement too. So all those things will kind of be at play at the same time that we sort of start down the path of preparing for all-out litigation on this, where we have to start thinking, what would a trial on the merits of this case look like?
Yeah, let's talk numbers for just a minute, John. How, in your estimation, how many operations are being impacted currently by this VAT and some of these new guidelines? And what kind of financial impact do we think this litigation could have on DBA if you're forced to move forward?
Yeah, so I think there are probably 20 to 25 farms that are right now in that permitting stage where they're actively having to deal with this. There's probably another 75 or 80 that have VTAs that might have to cope with this in some way. It's going to affect a broader spectrum eventually of almost every farm or CAFO or permitted farm in the state. And at the same time that all this was happening with DNR, NRCS was also revising one of their technical standards with a lot of input from DNR to change how they would regulate VTAs. So now we're going to get down to those farms that are smaller than CAFOs, farms that are covered by livestock siting, or maybe in some cases a county manure storage ordinance might require some changes. So the impact is potentially pretty broad, and I think for those farms at least, could really add up quickly. As far as DBA's cost goes, I guess we'll see. I think it's worth it. Really, I think we had little other choice, and that's one of the things our members expect from us. They expect us not to just, you know, haphazardly go into litigation, but when we've exhausted every other possibility, when we've pushed for a resolution from the agency, potential legislative solutions, and we just don't seem to be getting anywhere. When it's an issue of this much importance to the industry, it seemed like this was the only thing we could do.
Very good. Thank you, John. John Holyvoet from the Dairy Business Association, the first time they've been forced into litigation against the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, claiming they overreached their legal authority on key regulations, specifically how dairies are being told to manage rainwater that comes in contact with feed storage or calf hutch areas. Obviously a story that we'll be developing. Thank you, John. All right, all out of time for a finally Friday morning. A little cool today, but it's going to improve as the weekend wears on. Don't forget, Wisconsin State Fair underway.
This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.